This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast or how.as/yourweekend. While you're there, please subscribe. There are links for iTunes, Android, and more. Hey, Wendy, how was your weekend?
Good. How was your week?
How was my week? So we actually, real quick, we should probably
pull that up and give credit too.
We need to give credit. So,
because I'm loving this idea.
Yeah, I really do too. So on Twitter today at B Kilby, at Wendy Kaysen, and at TF Radio, we actually had a recommendation from Sean Genesco or Genesco 3 Thrust to. And the reason I'm saying this is because we actually thought about changing the name of the podcast.
Yeah. So if they haven't listened to last week's podcast, Jess, we kind of said, hey, things are changing a bit. I'm moving. We may not always get to talk about our weekends. So does that mean, do we keep the name How Was Your Weekend? And we thought, maybe let's throw it out there and see if we should change it. So, drum roll.
The suggestion was, How Was Your Week? And
how clever. That's so clever.
That's very clever, Sean.
And you can
great
keep,
job.
Yes. Thank
and I,
you.
And I can keep the domain that I bought.
Exactly. And guess what? I thought about that, and that's not even
You're
my
such
world.
A nerd. You're such a nerd.
I'm being nerdified. I'm loving this. I want to be a nerd.
Yeah, I got like a fancy custom domain where I had to like fill out paperwork because it was coming out of, I forgot even what country it is.
Oh, God. That makes me nervous, Kilby. Is this a country I need to be like?
It's not North Korea, so it should be okay.
Or China or something. We're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah. So, how was your weekend?
I like this.
I like it.
It's good.
It opens up the possibilities.
I was gonna say it doesn't put us in a box that we no longer can operate in easily.
Boxes.
Screw boxes. They suck.
Did you ever watch Cool Hand Luke? That's what I think of when I think of being in a box.
Yes. I love that movie.
I love that movie.
It's been forever. Now I need to watch it because, funny enough, our friend Allison's husband referenced that movie this weekend, too.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. Yeah, that's the quote everybody knows.
This is the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now it is officially. Are we saying it's official?
Yeah, George Kennedy, who played, what was George Kennedy's character's name?
I can't even remember.
He was awesome. That's official.
Yes.
That's the official.
That's
no,
the official.
The name is How Was Your Week?
And
How Was Your Week? And.
Yeah. And all the other parts.
And
whether it's the front part, the back part, or the in-between part.
We're talking pigs now, right?
No, that's I was talking about the week,
all,
right?
That's all the edible stuff in a pig.
It applies to so many things. That's why it makes it great. So thank you for the recommendation. We are taking it and we are running with it.
Yeah, I really like it.
It was clever. I was like, I'm bought in. I'm sold. Let's do it. So this week, because it's like been top of mind for me, I was like, Kilby, I just want to unload about all the things about moving, the thought of moving, the planning to move, the whole in the move thing. So you just bought a new house a little over a year ago.
Yeah, and I'm already thinking about moving again, so.
What?
Not literally, but sort of. I'll get into it.
I am moving, like we talked about last week, having to relocate, which moving in this. So there's so many things about moving we could talk about. So how many times have you moved in your life?
So the house I lived in first, I lived in for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
The next house I lived in, for, 6 years. Then I lived in an apartment underneath the Christian radio station for 8 years.
8 years? I didn't realize that long. How awesome is that?
No, six years.
Okay, still.
I can't do math.
That's a good bit of time.
And, you know, that's the thing. I was working two jobs rent-free. And all.
See?
And just think of all the money I didn't save. Yeah. And let's see here. The house that we just moved from,
mm-hmm.
8 years there. That's where the 8 years came from.
Okay.
And we've been in this house just a little bit over a year.
Okay. So the house I grew up in, I was there for 18 years, right? Then I went to college, lived in a dorm. Then I lived in a house my second year of college. Then I moved to another house and then another house and then back to the other house. And then I moved home for a little bit, in with a roommate, to North Carolina in an apartment, to a townhome, to another house, and then bought my house. So I've lived...
You've been in how many houses since 13, you've been in North Carolina?
So since North Carolina, I've had an apartment, a townhome, a rental house. I lived with my friend and her husband, and then bought my own house. So four or five alone in North Carolina. 13 in total since I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And now I'm about to sell my home and move into a rental in Nashville.
Wow.
So I have learned the older you get, moving's a bigger pain in the butt and more irritating than it ever was as a like young 20 something.
Yeah. So I've always had a ton of crap because I'm obsessive compulsive when it comes to collecting. as you can obviously, you know, profess being in this room. But man, I like every time I move, I try to get rid of a lot of crap, and I actually do get rid of a lot of crap.
And then you settle in and you get more stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess the question would be, is it become harder to move and think about moving and all that it entails as you get older? A, because you accumulate more things. And so it's more to think about moving and fitting into the new space? Or is it you just become more content and settled and the thought of disrupting what you're now okay with is irritating?
I don't know how to unravel that question.
Was that a pretty good question? Was that deep thinking, Kilby?
So, I don't know that I'm ever content with anything. So, I'm never satisfied with anything.
Yeah. Okay, but I feel like... Like, when you come home and you're like, this is my home. Like, I love, like, some people write love to go home. And it's like, I just want to be home. I want to be in my space, my comfort level, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like that's where I've been in my house for 12 years. And now I'm moving to a new space, which is exciting. And I'm ready for it. And I'm embracing it. But I'm also like, man, when I come home from Tennessee... I'm like, man, I like my house and I like how it's set up and I like how it's just
when I
the moved, one constant in everything.
When I moved, I very much appreciated my old house.
See, yeah. Okay.
Which I was tired of it. Mm-hmm. When I moved into that house and even after, so the apartment that I lived in, I most recently visited that apartment. It was 2008 when I moved out. I most recently visited that around 2015.
Yeah.
And... I'm like, man, I can move back here in a heartbeat. The only place, like, oh, wow. So when I was living in the apartment,
mm-hmm.
This is just, I guess, is part of my personality, too. I really wanted to buy the house that I had just left.
Really?
Yeah. I actually was looking into doing that.
So what was it about the house that made you be like, I want to move back to that?
Nostalgia. Place?
Just the memories associated with it?
Yeah. Well, no, I had terrible memories. That's where both my parents died there.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Like in the house, I had terrible memories there, but it was the house that I was comfortable in.
So it's funny you say that because I do feel like my sophomore year of college, we had this little bungalow house down from an old Goodrich factory in Oklahoma that we called, it was on I Street. So everybody called it I Street. And it's just this little two bedroom bungalow. Loved that place. And I always said if I got rich, I would like literally pick it up and move it and put it on like the back 40 of my property because it had so many memories and good times, good, bad, all kinds of memories. But my friends will attest to, I would pick that thing up off the middle of the block it was on and move it to the back 40 just simply because I loved all the memories, good, bad, and otherwise that happened in that house. So I think it's funny that you would like to buy a house because of memories or like somebody would like to buy a space because of memories, even regardless of what they are.
Yeah.
Right. So, but with that, you have to move your stuff. You have to do all that planning. And then I think the older you get, you obviously have more stuff and bigger space, smaller, bigger, whatever space you got to move into. And it's just exhausting.
It is. So it is. Gosh, not everybody has the whole extra stuff mentality. Like my friends Dusty and Susan, Dusty has really tried to, other than some books.
Uh-huh.
He is really
a minimalist.
He's become a minimalist. I mean, they have a lovely house. It's large. It's, I think it's larger than the house they just moved from.
Uh-huh.
But if it were me, mm-hmm. it would be already be full of wall to wall junk. But it looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's nicely decorated. It's not too sparse, not too full.
Uh-huh.
I think they've done an excellent job in maintaining that. Here, we don't have enough room anywhere in the house. We're already out of room.
So that's the thing for me. Like, as I think about making this transition, I'm going to rent for a year before I repurchase, right? Like, get familiar with the area, get comfortable in the role at work, all that kind of stuff. But I'm like, I have to find a place first, and then I have to make the decision of what stuff can I take and what stuff can I not take.
What are you going to do? So the stuff that you're not going to take, what is your plan? How are you going to tackle that?
So it will be, can I sell some of it? You know me, my first thing is going to be like, friends, here's what I have. Does mm-hmm. anybody need it or want it? Then it's going to be like, can I sell it? And then after that, it's going to literally be the tough decision of, can I take it or can I not? And what can I live without and what can I not? And the reason it's hard for me, and people will tell you, I have a lot of sentimental things.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And my stuff is not like, you know, people give me stuff, tchotchke things and all that too. But like, I have my grandfather's chair that he had when I was a child. Like, I would literally have to live in a box for me not to be able to take that chair. And then I have a neighbor's mother's old antique, like, dining room and buffet set, right? I don't want to have to give that up if I don't have to, because even though it wasn't my family's, it was special to somebody. So those are the things, like, I'm like, here's the things that I can't get rid of, and here's the things I'm okay getting rid of. And then it's the thing of, do I need to put it in storage or not? And do I pay the extra cost of storage just to keep these things? And are they really that valuable? And I mean, yada, yada, yada. And it just is annoying.
So as you,
as I ramble,
as you mentioned all this stuff, I was pulling something out of my drawer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I keep everything. So that's my dad's death certificate. That's not funny.
No.
Let's see. What have I got here? I have, a card on my work anniversary from your old boss.
Oh, yeah.
From Cynthia.
I keep a lot of cards too for a while.
Another note from Cynthia.
Yes, she's note queen. She's good at that stuff.
My ASVAB scores from junior year of high school.
You know what? I need to see this. I still have, actually, my mom sent me some of my old report cards. So. Oh, look at this, dude.
Escape from the Gremlins. Story 3. I don't know why I have this.
Wait, no. Let me see this, because really, what is this? I didn't know this existed. Is this a child's book?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a Gremlins child book. This is amazing, Brian Kilby.
What's the year on it?
Okay, let me look at copyright. This is story 3, though, so we're 1
and 2.
I have
no idea.
1984. Warner Brothers.
A birthday card, probably for my 6th or 7th birthday, from two people that are no longer with us.
See, I have some of those too. I do have some of those.
What do we got here?
I have my dad's baby book.
What the hell is this? Oh, this is from Kim. Okay.
That's special. You better hold on to that.
So this right here,
it's a turkey.
And the person who did this, I did this. This is a turkey. I made this turkey.
Brian made this turkey. That's a good turkey, Brian Kilby.
I guess so.
You should keep that. Birthday card. Child's birthday card.
It's a birthday card based on the people who are on it. It's my brother, his first child, and his first wife, and he's on wife 4.
Oh.
So this card is probably from 1983.
Okay.
I keep everything.
I have cards, so I will say I have boxes. Not boxes, but I have like a tote. Look at young Brian Kilby.
I'm like 8 there.
And he has the bowl cut.
Yeah.
Aww.
Baby Brian.
Baby Brian, so cute. Brian, you haven't aged much since that picture.
I know, right?
Either one of these.
I don't get rid of anything.
Well, but these, okay, so I think there's, your childhood memories are one thing, but you know, there's people that have like, 70,000 pillows that are just stacked in the attic. that they never use. I mean, that kind of stuff is insane. But these things, I have these too. I have my high school yearbooks. I have photos of me showing.
I have a photo from the 1996 Republican convention of Bob Dole and Jack Kemp.
He's not lying because he's holding it up right now. And this is amazing. And how old were you in 1986?
1996.
Oh, 1996.
I was 17. I couldn't vote.
Oh, but you damn you wanted to.
There was not a word for like Dole crazy. I loved Bob Dole.
So my best friend in elementary school, Greg, I would have to understand it, I guess, more, but he was like obsessed with Nixon.
In a good way or a bad way?
I don't know. We were in third grade. His obsession was in third grade. So I don't know if it was just the character that Nixon was at that point in our age. I don't know. But he was a Jimmy Carter, which Carter was the president when we were born. The Nixon thing, he was obsessed with it. So it's so funny that you have that, because my buddy Greg was just like a Nixon fan.
And this will be the last thing I show you.
Okay.
Because we don't want to listen to a podcast of me going through this one box of memories.
This could be funny, though. We should do an episode on memories.
It's a birthday card from my very first birthday. So this would have been from 1980.
And it has a cat.
It has a cat.
Which, is that what, foreshadowing?
I don't think I had a cat for 4 or 5 years after this.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
I don't think I've ever seen this before.
It was fortuitous.
It was.
Is that right? Am I using that right?
Sure. I mean, fortuitous means lucky.
And, oh, well, but then you had cats. You had no cats at one, and now you have multiple cats.
It's prescient.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's just going through all that stuff, and I'm like you. I want to try to, like, be a minimalist, but I also am that person that I am so fortunate and so lucky that people like to give me things, and I feel bad like they're gonna know if I don't keep like that itty bitty thing that they gave me 17 years ago. I have that guilty conscience that somehow this person's gonna come back from my past and be like, you threw away that magnet I gave you from my senior trip in 1996. You know, I mean, I've gotten better where I'm like, no, this has got to go.
So I said it'd be the last thing. In the blue box up there on my shelf lies the pen that you gave me of the guinea pig
the
from
guinea
Peru.
Because I ate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have those things. But I think the biggest part of moving, the thought of moving, is literally putting the things in a truck or a box or whatever is moving. That part is just the most irritating part.
It's terrible.
And it's the most expensive part.
So I spent a couple $100 at least on cardboard boxes.
Oh, yeah. I'm lucky enough. I'm like, hey, anybody got moving boxes they want to give me?
I may have some.
I have two. I have two sources right now that I'm super excited about. Thank you, by the way. You know who you are. That I'm not going to probably have to buy boxes. But
I think I gave most of mine to Bridget when she moved last year. But I bet I still have some.
Yeah, our friend Allison and her husband are going to hook me up. And then my friend Christy has held on to several moves. Like, I think these boxes are probably on move number 3. And I used them to pack my house up, to put in a pod, to have the floors refinished, to move it back into the house. So thank God, I knock on wood, will hopefully not have to buy any moving boxes. But I look at this card. I like this card.
It's
Brian's going down memory lane,
yeah,
and I'm loving this.
I need to stop.
Because I love it. I do the same thing. I can just sit for hours and go through all my old stuff. But I think the other part of it is when you move after living somewhere for so long, it's the thought of, okay, I had a mortgage. It was very manageable. It was like actually super cheaper than most apartments are now because of when I bought my house. And now I'm going to have to pay 2 to 3 times that just to rent something. And it makes my fiscal brain want to explode, Brian Kilby. Like, it's depressing me a little bit.
Gosh. Yeah.
And I get, like, my friends are like, welcome to reality. And I'm like, I liked my delusional mortgage that I had before.
So the cost of living here.
Mm-hmm.
So this house is valued approximately twice what my house in Wilkes was valued.
Okay.
Very comparable.
Uh-huh.
Very comparable.
In the way that the size, scale, size, all that kind of stuff.
The property, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the neighborhood that I lived in Wilkes was better.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, moving to Nashville, I can't even imagine.
Well, they're going through a growth phase, just like Charlotte has been for a couple of years, but they're like at the early part of that growth stage that Charlotte experienced like 3 or 4 years ago. So, and granted, I don't want to live downtown in all the mess, but I want to be close enough. If I'm going to rent for a year, I'm just like, you know what? Let me be close enough. And then when I buy, I'm going to go out in the country and I'm going to have land and everything is going to be right with the world.
I'm sorry. I keep looking at these cards.
Oh, what is this one?
I don't even get this one.
So, but this highlights a lot. Oh, it's this a Mother's Day card.
To my mom, for my brother.
Aww.
Okay.
Oh, but I like it. It's a little dog with curlers and glasses.
And let's see, the date on this card... this dog's probably been dead for 25 years.
So here's, but you, this highlights such a good point. It's another thing that's annoying about moving is because you're having to move your stuff. Like I almost want somebody to clock how long I spend going through boxes of stuff, like reminiscing, as opposed to just getting crap packed and getting on with my day.
So for me...
Because you know you do it.
Yeah.
You know you do it.
So for me, obviously, I mean, again, you're in here. I have a big bunch of crap toy collection. I don't have many thousands of toys I have, but I have a lot.
You do.
Not to mention just all the other crap I have. So I actually had like a triage process that I would follow.
Oh, yeah?
Basically is what I'm looking at. Is it going to be displayed or is it going to be stored?
Oh, okay.
And if it was going to be stored, it went into one box. If it was going to be displayed, it went to another box.
Ah.
And I've basically learned that a year later, I kind of wanted to display half the stuff that I put into the storage box. So now I'm going through like a reverse moving process where I'm unpacking things that I packed over a year ago and trying to determine whether or not I want it or I want to get rid of it.
Ah.
So I actually have a box of crap in the guest room that's in the process of reorganizing my office are things that that I just need to part with.
So you can speak to this better than I can because I've not had to do this. It's one thing moving for one person who gets to make the calls about what comes and what goes and all that kind of stuff. Does Kim have things that she has to go through this process you just described to us or... Does she not have a lot of things?
Kim would tell you, and she's not wrong, that 80% of the stuff in the house is mine.
Mm, okay.
I mean, she has physical possessions.
Yeah.
But she doesn't value physical goods like I do.
She doesn't have collectibles and things like that.
No. So if you were in our bedroom, you would see on the wall, she has like 4 figurines and some photos.
Okay.
She has her Kindle tablet.
Uh-huh.
She has her phone.
Uh-huh.
That's and she has a she has a PC upstairs.
Okay.
That's about all she's got.
She's not it. So it's more like 90% of yours.
99% of the stuff.
Or it's 80% are yours, 10% are her personal, and 10% is shared.
I mean, I guess technically it's all shared.
It's all shared, whether she wants it or not, but...
Yeah, so the moving process, we actually didn't, I guess, so when I moved last, which was last year, it took us weeks to box everything up.
Yes.
And
my goal is to do it in a week or less.
You can probably do it.
I probably can. I'm pretty organized.
I'm not. So we boxed everything up. Then things that we couldn't box up, we tried to protect. We actually had to get help, so Kim's mother came and helped us with a lot of that.
Yeah.
Actually, come moving day, Kim's mother, my brother Steve, and Kim's father.
Uh-huh.
And Kim's mother was wife number one. He's on wife number four.
Okay.
But they worked together to help us move.
Oh, nice.
And we spent all day doing it.
See, I think that's the thing this time around. As much as my frugal little heart is going to hate it, I'm probably going to pay to have movers unload the stuff. into my new.
You're smarter than I am.
Yeah, and no. But so if it was here, if like I was moving, this is horrible. It's horrible and it's great at the same time because if I was moving in the state of North Carolina, I have friends and they would help me because they're amazing and I wouldn't have to pay for movers and I don't have that much heavy stuff that it would be this like grueling long day of all this heavy stuff. But the fact that I'm moving 6 hours away and all of that, I'm just like, nope. Gonna pay. It's gonna take probably less than an hour to unload my possessions into my new home. And so I'm gonna pay somebody to do it.
So are you cataloging what you have? Do you have an inventory of what you own?
No, but as I pack, I should probably do that because you know they say to do that for insurance purposes.
Well, not just that. What I found is there are things that I thought that I kept that I gave away.
Oh, really?
I mean, there are things that I should have that I can't account for that I know I didn't give away. And funny enough, so we kept the house that we have north. We still own it. We rent it out. It actually has two storage buildings on the property, and it took us about 10 months to get everything moved.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the house, or when I went up there to just do an inventory of what we had in the building, I was surprised 80% of it I just thought was here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had no idea what was there, and what we found, almost all of it, I just assumed was in this house.
Oh, wow. So I'll have to do that because, I mean, honestly, again, I don't have much stuff. I have the furniture that I use. So like to your point, things that go in storage, things that are in storage for me are like your seasonal holiday items that you pull out once a year.
Yeah.
And then memories like pictures and yearbooks and that kind of stuff. If I don't use it, I'm not probably storing it.
So yeah, if you don't use it, if you give away, I would recommend like create a photo album or something.
Yes.
And this is the stuff you give away because it's a hectic time. You're having to do a lot of different things. You're not going to keep track of everything. You don't want to move and think, hey, somebody stole this.
Yes.
Or I lost it.
Yes.
If you gave it away, and heck, if you itemize your taxes, it's worth doing that
as well.
Well,
that's the other thing. The only like positive, well, there's many positive things about moving, I guess, but it's like, man, I get a tax break this year.
Yeah.
And it's totally worth it because it's such a pain in the butt.
It is such a pain in the butt.
But that is a good point. I will have to do that because there are going to be things that I probably give away or something, and I'm going to be like, where the heck is it? And it's like, oh, duh.
It's happened to me all the time.
Really?
I was looking for a coffee maker.
Yep.
That I was certain that I had.
Yep.
I don't know what happened to it, but I know that I bought one just like it about 2 months ago. A lot of things like that happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the one thing it's nagging me, it was a freaking $10 push broom that I cannot account for. I mean, I may have...
But those are the ones that get under your skin. It could be like $1,000 something, and you're like, ah, whatever. And then you're exactly. Like, but dang it, I wanted that broom.
I've needed that broom like 10 times. I ended up buying one to replace it.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what happened to it.
Yeah.
So one thing that I found, I don't know this will happen to you, but since it was a much shorter move for me, and we actually made a couple of trips, I had an arcade cabinet. Actually, I had a couple. I sold one.
Yeah.
I brought it down here. And in the course of trying to take it out, I decided, screw this. I don't have room for it. I am going to leave it.
Yeah.
So we ended up taking it back and I just left it.
Yeah.
So you might find in the course of moving that you want to part with something.
Yeah. I think I will. I think I'll probably use this as an opportunity to purge some things. I'm going to go through and it's going to be like, okay, I've held on this for how long? Do I still need it? Do I really use it? Do even some of the memory stuff, it's like, okay, I have this, but the only time I bring it, every time I look at it, it's only when I move. It's not like,
yeah.
I have friends. I will say, I do have friends that like once a year, they literally go through their remnants, like they reminisce in their memory boxes. Like they make it a point to like open up cedar chests or totes or wherever their stuff is and just like look back through all their stuff in a day. And I'm like, oh, well, I guess then at least you know you're enjoying the thing that's taking up space in the attic or closet or wherever you might have it. But my goal is to get to a place with this move, much like Susan and Dusty have, where it's like, I have the bare necessities. I mean, I do admit I like to decorate, not like excessively, but I like to make things my personality. So I probably won't get rid of a lot of furniture. But I don't have excessive furniture either, I don't think.
So I like to think that I don't just buy things needlessly. But I'm looking at this robotic chimp over there on my on my shelf. Mm-hmm. I don't need that.
I'm not sure what it was. It was just cool. So you got it.
It was on clearance, and it does tricks, and it can learn things. So I thought, hey, why not?
See, and there's some of those things that I used to do that, and then I've gotten rid of a lot of those things. But I'm sure there'll be a point in my life where I think, you know what, though, dude, I would have totally bought that chimp too. If I can teach that chimp something, I'm taking it with me, and it's moving with me
for a while. You can have it.
No, don't put your stuff on me, Frank.
I have that that plush elf, that tropical Hawaiian elf doll thing over there.
I love this elf doll. I do admit that I love elf. Elf was one of my favorites. So I have a question. There's always got to be a moving story. Like, everybody has that, holy crap, this happened when I moved story. Mine, and then maybe this will trigger in your brain, right? Because especially when you're like college kids or you're young adults, when you're moving and you maybe don't have pickups or you don't have all the means to move things appropriately. Even though I did, me and my friend Farah had a pick. We had pickups. We could move things. We were making a move from Davidson to Troutman. And we had two gentlemen helping us. And we had ratchet straps and all that kind of stuff. And we had stacked all the mattresses in one of the trucks on top of some other stuff. And I distinctly remember both of us thinking, that's probably too high. We probably shouldn't put all, like, we'll come back and make another trip. And they're like, no, this is the last trip. Like, we can do it. We've got the ratchet straps. They're going to stay on, no problem. And we had to go on the highway. You know, because we just had no patience to go the back roads to Troutman. So we go on the highway, and I guess at that time I still had a Tahoe, and we were borrowing maybe her boyfriend's truck, and I was following Farah in the pickup, and we left Davidson, and we barely got like midway through the lake, and I am trying to call her on my cell phone because the mattresses are about to take flight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, in the middle of 77 on like a Saturday or Sunday. And I'm going, that's my mattress on top. Like, that's the one that's going to get roadkill on it. Sure enough. And I'm like, oh, God, it's going to hit my new vehicle, all this stuff. And sure enough, the mattresses and the one mattress and box spring take flight and land by the guardrail, skid. And I think the box spring may have landed in the middle of the one lane. So she gets pulled over and I pull over behind her. And then the guys were behind us in another vehicle and they risked themselves to run out just quick enough to get the box spring off. I don't know how long I slept on that mattress and box spring, but we always referred to it because it wasn't horrible. It didn't get completely destroyed. And I was young and didn't have thousands of dollars to go buy a new mattress, but we always referred to that mattress as the squirrel roadkill mattress because there was a corner. It didn't land on a squirrel. It was the way we referenced it because it landed in the middle of 77. But that's probably one of my most memorable moves because literally it could have been a complete friggin' disaster with us causing a huge wreck on 77 because mattresses and box springs are flying. Which we deliberately said, I think it's too high. I don't care if there's ratchet straps. I don't know that that's going to work. And less than 2 miles down the highway, boom, it flies out in the middle of the friggin' highway. That's probably one of my most memorable moves. And the fact that I had that mattress for like probably another 2 years with that little bit of just, I mean, I Cloroxed it. I scrubbed the heck out of it. But I was just like, yep, there's a little bit of road rash on this mattress.
I don't have anything quite like that.
Okay.
I respect and I fear my father-in-law.
Okay. I don't, and it's probably as he intended.
Yeah. I think I've told you some of the stories. Uh-huh. He is a man that commands respect, and I'm not going to say unhinged, but he's a little unhinged. And
some may define him as.
Yes. He is definitely the type of guy who proves that if you think you can do something hard enough,
yeah,
You can do it.
Yeah.
So in
movie, you will it. It'll happen.
He wills things into existence.
Yeah.
So we were packing up last year, and this was the second. This was the return trip, and we were trying to figure out how to get the lawnmower into the back of the box truck or the whatever the vehicle is. It's basically a big box truck. And he said he basically put this is a 580-pound John Deere. It's a 54-inch deck. It's a big,
it's a riding lawnmower. It's not a push mower. We're talking about a riding
it's
lawnmower.
It's a big riding lawnmower.
Okay.
So the truck has a ramp on it.
Uh-huh.
And the ramp is the ramp one is not flat.
Okay.
So it's recessed. So if you think of it two dimensionally, it's like a U.
Uh-huh.
With the U, the sides being very short, about 2 inches.
Uh-huh.
And it's about four and a half feet wide. Just enough for the very inside of the wheels of the tires of the lawnmower to ride along if you were dead on perfect.
Yes.
And otherwise you would topple over and break your neck and killed or whatever. Yeah. But again, it's not flat.
Yeah.
So he said he was going to ride up the ramp.
Oh, Lord.
On the, basically the edge of the,
like a tightrope walk.
It was a tight, and I'm like, there's no way you're going to do that. You'll get killed. You're going to destroy our mower. He did it.
See, there's something about like old school. They'll just figure it out. My dad is the same. Like you will it. He'll figure it out if it kills him. But when I moved, every time I moved, the dude is like, if he wasn't old school and he played video games or something, he is like a Jenga master. The dude, it's like, give me something one by one. I have a space. Like he can cube out.
Yeah.
A dang moving trailer or truck like nobody's business. I mean, do you have a pillow that can fit this, you know, flat into this dimension? The dude is insane. Like, this is the part where I'm like, I'm going to miss my dad because he's like, I'm going to pack things, but he could probably get me a smaller truck or a smaller part for cheaper because he can just knows how to master that stuff.
My father-in-law was an engineer.
Ah. Okay.
So, I mean, that's his mindset.
Yeah.
And he was an engineer in the sense of like an army engineer.
Yeah.
He built bridges.
Yeah. And he's like my dad. My dad's an iron worker, right? Yeah. They know how to make things
work. He made things happen.
Yes.
So before he got there, he showed up late. And I had already packed up the truck.
Uh-huh.
He unpacked the entire truck.
And repacked
it because he wasn't satisfied with the way that I did it. And I was so pissed off. Oh my God, I was pissed off.
Yeah.
But you know what? He did a better job than I did.
And you got more stuff in.
I got
probably
more stuff
made
in.
One or two less trips.
Yep.
Because of it. Yeah.
It wasn't fewer trips, but we got more things on the first trip than we would have.
Originally. Yeah. Like my dad is like Ed Kaysen is a master packer. Like he really can. Like he can cube out a packing or a moving truck like nobody's business. So.
Are there any requisite moving tips or anything that we haven't shared or haven't thought about?
So one thing I've learned and I've tried to incorporate in my moving. So, you know, you could, like you said, the amount of money you can spend on moving boxes and bubble wrap and everything else. I am a firm believer, like
liquor store
again. Well, that moving boxes from the office, like reams of paper, like the boxes of box
cardboard.
Paper.
Yeah.
That's great for books and stuff. But honestly, instead of bubble wrap or paper, I am a firm believer you can pack your clothes and pack your dishes and glasses at the same time. I use my old, like my workout t-shirts and my work clothes and old t-shirt or not old t-shirts, but I will use my clothes to pad dishes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
We did that.
Yeah. Because I'm like, it's so much better, and you're using less space.
My friend Scott, who we've talked about before, he moved across country. It was easier for him to pack up his extensive, gigantic library.
Mm-hmm.
He's very well read.
Okay.
Reading is his passion among, you know, other things like, you know, outdoors, guns, fishing, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic Church.
Yep.
He packed up his extensive library and mailed it to himself media rate.
Really?
Yes. It was cheaper to do that than it was to move it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. And I don't think that the post office liked him very much.
Probably not.
Because, let's see, his library. So the wall of my living room,
uh-huh.
all the way to the kitchen.
Yes.
He basically had shelves that would go floor to ceiling at least half, two-thirds of the way.
Oh, wow.
So he had more books than I have toys, basically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I have a lot of books that I need to read because I want to be well read. But for me, I think my big thing, the one thing I had is when me and my friend Farah moved, my friend Rachel was helping us unpack and she was like, oh my God, if I see another glass, I might lose my mind. She's like, how do two people need so many glasses? So since that experience, I have really tried to minimize my glass game, whether it's plastic cups or whatever it is. But I've thought about it too. I'm like, is there something I should just ship because I don't want it to get damaged by potential movers or anything like that? But I think for the most part, I'll be able to wrap with moving blankets or whatever. But I think the big thing is trying to put as many things. Well, and then it's the smart move of not overloading a box to the point where you can't lift it.
I think so. Going back to letting things go.
Yes.
Especially things that are semi sentimental.
Yes.
One thing I've read and I have gained some solace from this is taking a photo.
Yes.
Or taking photos of things that you're going to let go.
So I totally did that. My mom and dad were like just going through their attic and they were trying to get rid of stuff and they had all my trophies from growing up. I mean, just tubs and tubs of trophies. And I'm like, I'm not going to put up a 1983 champion pin of two Barras from Adams County Fair trophy because I don't know if I'm going to have a house. And I had literally, not to sound like braggy, but I had so many trophies. I'm like, I'm not going to put these up.
Humble brag.
And it's not. And for that age,
so many trophies. Oh my God. So many trophies.
That's why I shouldn't have said it. Damn it. That's not what I meant. But it was like, what am I going to do? And they're from when I was 8 or I was 10. Like, really? Like, you haven't accomplished anything else. So I said, Mom, I am going to just take pictures of them. So I took pictures of all the stuff, like special ribbons or whatever. And then her husband, my dad, and my mom did this really cool thing. Yeah, I can't use my words.
You need caffeine.
I do, obviously. But my mom and dad did this really great thing for me for Christmas where, like, probably my 5 most special ribbons that I ever won in competing, they did this little photo of, and I could hang it up, and it was done really well. But I did. I just took pictures of everything, and dad's like, well, I can scrap that medal and make some money, you know, and he could burn the. It was great.
Dad scrapped metal.
He did. He was. He, I mean, that's how he does. He does that stuff. But it was like, okay, I have the memory still, but I don't have to have all the stuff and find all the space and all of that kind of stuff. And even some of those trophies could be recycled. So you can take them to a trophy shop and they just replace the plaque, right? So they're in the year on them because then you're not being wasteful.
Yeah.
So they could just use it for the other fairs. And so I did do that because I was like, you know, when I was in my early 20s, late teens, I was like, you know what? Yep, I'm going to keep these and I'm going to have a big room and a house one day. And I'm like,
no,
I'm not, because I would kick my own butt because that's just dumb.
That's living in the past.
And they had the now.
Says the guy with the toys from the 80s all over his house.
But some of the things we won were like cool silver platters. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep some
of these.
That's cool. And I'll serve on them now. Like, I can legitimately use these to entertain or do whatever, because you know me, I'm a big entertainer and I cook all the time. Yeah, right. But at least it was functional and usable later in life, where trophies and ribbons and all those great memories, I was just like, what am I going to do? I care, but I don't. And it's like pictures. And you nailed it. So now on Shutterfly, I have the whole thing and I can go back and reminisce about my accomplishments in 4-H and FFA livestock judging and showing pigs and everything else, and not have to have all the boxes to haul from one place to another ever again. So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Take pictures.
Take pictures.
Take pictures.
Anything else?
I don't know. I may get a reconvene on this topic once I get moved. It's just the thought of it makes me tired.
The act of it makes you more tired.
Exactly.
Though.
That's exactly right. But I'm looking forward to it. I know it's a good thing. It's just the thought of, to your point, letting go of certain stuff, staying focused and getting it done so it doesn't take ages, and then fiscally debating on, do I pay for somebody else to do it, or do I muscle through it and then regret it after the fact because I'm kind of a frugal person. But I know I'm going to give in and say, screw it, I'm too old and I don't want to feel bad.
You're not too old, but I wouldn't. It's just better for you and everybody else.
It's not worth the frustration, I don't think.
So it's like anything else.
Yes.
A professional who does this for a living is going to do a much better job. They're going to be more efficient and it's going to be less of a headache if you just let somebody else do it.
Yeah. So that's probably where I'll end up with it. But that's it, man. I just had to have an episode about the impending move and all the things that could and could not go wrong with it.
Awesome.
All right. So next week.
And
haha. I'm so excited about this.
I am too. Thanks, Sean.
It is. It is really cool. We can have so much fun of it. So we'll have more exciting things to talk about next week. And bye, Kilby.
See you, Wendy.
This has been How Was Your Weekend? Please subscribe at our website, howwas.yourweekend. That's howw.as/yourweekend. Please leave a review and tell a friend.